Ephesians chapter 5 today. Again, that's where we are starting. This is our 31st message here in the book of Ephesians, and let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we want to thank you again as we look to your word, as we see what you have for us today, that we truly lay aside the things of the world. There are so many different things knocking at our door, trying to take our attention away from you. But Lord, help us to put them aside, be focused on your word now. And as always, when we go looking to you to see what you'd have for us. But Lord, we allow the Holy Spirit true reign and access to every part of our being, to mold us and to shape us and be more like you through it all. So thank you again for your word that's so true and sure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read a couple verses here. It will be 1 and 2 today. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Again, I challenge you. I've said this many times. Maybe Friday nights or Saturday nights or whenever you can. Just read through the book of Ephesians. That way we can keep everything in context, everything just the way Paul presented it from the very first verse to the very last verse. And then when we're finished with all this, then hopefully you'll have it committed to your heart on what Ephesians is telling us today. But here you see, be therefore followers of God. We see that word therefore again, which to me, I know other people have cool little sayings on when you see the word therefore, then, and I can't even remember it. I just know people say that. But to me, it says remember. So that's what I want to do here. Be therefore. Let's remember a couple things. Remember chapter 1. What does Paul tell us? We have this awesome position in Christ. We've been told that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been told that we're holy, we can be without blame before him, that forgiveness of sin, that redemption is through the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. We have so much. And it all started in verse 1 or chapter 1, verse 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That day, we placed our faith in Christ's faithfulness, his finished work, his shed blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That moment in time, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And not only were we sealed for all of eternity, but we have this position in Christ that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're seated in the heavenlies. There's a lot, and I don't want to cover them all. But remember that. Remember our eternal security that we just read. Remember that we are a new creation. Ephesians chapter 2 here, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before him that we should walk in them. I also think of here in verse 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their own. Why? Because come down here to verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 4. That ye put on the new man, which is created, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We are truly a brand new creature. We are truly a new man, a new creature. We are taken out of one we were once unrighteous. Nothing we could ever do could ever merit to anything. We are completely dead in our trespasses and sin. And God does that transforming work. His finished work that was on the Christ is now applied to us. When we believe by that simple faith. But we're that new creation. We're no longer in an unfavorable position. We are truly in God's grace. Remember that we are to walk in this new life. Paul started talking that in Ephesians 4 as well, about the unity of the Spirit. He talks about, okay, now what does it mean to live in this new man? And we finished up last week by that hard one about, not last week, the week before, of forgiving one another. Not lying, edifying one another, not using coarse language, don't steal, but working, all these different things that Paul tells us. So remember that. Remember everything in this whole letter that Paul talked about, our position in Christ, the ability to have power over sin. It's been broken. Sin doesn't have power over us, but sometimes we like to live in it. But Paul lays out this line of the life of the Christian. But in a more immediate text, he says, be ye therefore followers of God. After he just got done saying how to start living now in this new creation, follow God. So I want to ask you a question today. Who to follow? Who should you follow? Well, obviously, the book answer, so to speak, is followers of God. We should follow God. But he says, as dear children, walk in love as Christ also loved us. But I want you to consider something. When he says followers are God, who do you want to follow? Obviously, you want to follow God. But I challenge you today to say, you know what? I want to follow God the right way. And that's by following Paul. One of my favorite verses, I mentioned it a lot of late, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul's saying, you want to follow Christ? Follow me, because I follow Christ. And many times he says that, but before I get too far ahead of myself, let's continue to remember something. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul starts out in verse 1 and says, for this cause I, Paul. Why do I bring this up? Well, stick with me. Because remember the question I just asked you. Who do you want to follow? Obviously, follow God. But I want to challenge you today to follow God as Paul follows God. Not anyone else, not Moses, not King David, not Peter, not John, not anyone else. But follow God. Follow Christ the way Paul did. So stick with me as I build the case for that. So Ephesians chapter 3, if you look back again, still remember, therefore. So for this cause I, Paul. What does he mean, this cause? Everything he just got done saying, we've covered that already. That position that we have in Christ, that we have full access in the grace of God. And it was by that grace. For by grace you save through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's because of that we're in him. That whole transaction of salvation. The whole idea that now we're one new man. There's no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. Everyone can come to the Lord Jesus Christ by simple faith alone. Before then, there was a difference in the way the Gentiles came and the Jews came. Verse 2 says, if you have heard of the dispensation, Ephesians chapter 3, 1, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word. So chapter 3, clear down through, let's say, verse 12, Paul shares his prized personal responsibility. His prized possession is this. This dispensation of the grace of God which was given to him. And 10 times right here in just these few verses, he claims ownership of that. He says, I. And one of those examples here is how that the revelation he made known unto me, the mystery. Lord Jesus Christ made it unto me in all of his epistles. Many times he claims that ownership very boldly. And there's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a second. So we must look to following God, following in love, walk in love. We need to do that through the eyes of the Apostle Paul, through the revelation that he shared, because he shared something unique, something special. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll start in 14. I write not these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So now he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. That's interesting. One more verse here. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This whole section here, 10 through 19, or 10 to the 21 actually. But in verse 12, Philippians chapter 3, it says, not as though I had already attained. And he's talking about knowing that power that he has, that power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being that fellowship of his sufferings. And we talked a little bit about that Resurrection Sunday last week. But it's not as though I had already attained, because Paul was already identified with Christ. He knew where he stood with Christ. But every day he wanted to know Christ in a very personal, intimate way. He wanted to know that power of his resurrection, that fellowship of his suffering. That's why he says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, but not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. And it's interesting. He follows after. if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So many times we look at God's word and we say, well, the law says I should do this, I should do that, and all these different things, do this, do that. We're in what Paul calls a dispensation of God's grace. Yes, there's things that Paul says do. We see that in Philippians chapter 4, the next chapter. But how do you do it? You need to follow God, walk in love, not because the law says it, but because my personal relationship, allowing the Holy Spirit to walk by faith, not by sight, walking in this grace, walking in this place of favor in which I stand in, I am so moved, I am so constrained by the love of Christ that I keep going. I keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling God. I keep moving on. But I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail. But verse 17 here says, brethren, of Philippians chapter 3, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. What's Paul saying there in a nutshell? Well, he says, follow me. Follow what I'm sharing to you. Follow the truths I'm giving to you. They're new. Peter even makes mention that some of these things are hard to accept, especially for the Jews. Why? Because it's new information. They had the whole word of God, a progression of revelation. It just kept happening. Heaven, Christ came. And then what happens? All of a sudden, Paul shows up and starts dispensing some new information never heard of before. And that's why he says, follow me. Because there are going to be others out there, sometimes not even knowing me, but they're the enemies of Christ. So I say that because there's a reason for that. There's a reason why I ask you the question, you want to be followers of God like we see here? Be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. And the only way to properly do that today is to recognize who Paul is and what he's telling us to do today. We can't go back to Moses and look, hey, I want to follow Moses. And what he definitely was a good guy. He did a lot of stuff. God used him in many ways. But I can't go back and say, hey, where's the priesthood at? Where do I take my animal? Where do I take? No. That's an obvious comparison that Christ has took care of most of that, or all of that. But we can't go back and do that. We can't go back at King David and how he did things. Sure, we see how God's love and his character and the requirement of faith in everything. We can see all those things and learn from it and know who our God is and what he's doing. But every step of the way from the moment of Adam and Eve, clear up till now and clear into the future, till everything is now, well, to the very end, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, to the very end. God deals with man in different ways sometimes, as he's doing today. So I challenge you to follow Paul, to be able to follow Christ truly in love. Couple examples of why I say that. I hear many times, especially of late, people saying, Lord, forgive me. I remember going to places, I hear it a lot of times at New Year's Eve, you have a lot of Christians gather together, and they say, Lord, forgive us. And they forget to say all the things I might have forgot from this past year. I commit them to you. I'm sorry for them. Please forgive me. Forgive me. I hear that a lot. Forgive me so I can be forgiven too. But what does the Word of God say? We see in Ephesians 1:7 that there's redemption. You see in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 13, brethren, I count, that's Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, you being dead in your trespasses and sin in the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's interesting. Acts chapter 13. I mentioned this recently several times. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, who's that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, he must go on to say, oh, in the moment of our salvation, we're forgiven of all of our sins, so now we need to keep maintaining our salvation and keep asking, Lord, forgive us so you can keep forgiving us. No, that's not what he says. Very next verse says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we hit on the fact that in verse 32 of Ephesians 4, right before, obviously, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, where we're at now. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why is that important? Because right here, the one I read in Colossians, with him having forgiven you. Nowhere does it say, as he continually forgives you. No. It's a done deal. We have absolute forgiveness. Paul shares that you can't find any hint that we should continually ask for forgiveness. It's done. The moment you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, boom. He completely applies the full payment of his blood to your account, and you are absolutely forgiven. That's why he says now we can forgive as he has forgiven us. We can freely forgive, and that is proper forgiveness. Forgiving so you can be forgiven isn't proper forgiveness today. That is not the will of God. Forgiving because you are freely forgiving, that you can now truly live out the grace of God, live out the love of Christ. Now you forgive because you're freely forgiving. So you freely forgive. You don't walk up to someone and say, well, I'm going to have to forgive that person. No, you're not displaying that mind of Christ. So you'll be all confused about forgiveness. Looking for the second coming of Christ. I'm only going to point out a few today. But they're usually ones pertaining especially to the coronavirus. And we're not going to talk too much on this. I challenge you to tune in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. We'll be in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians going through that. We'll talk more details on that. But just a quick review, for the second coming of Christ, people are talking about that. They're talking about the signs of the end times. They're talking about, oh, we're in a tribulation period. Oh, no. Without Paul's help, yeah, we would be wondering. We would be confused. We would be saying, look, we're in the tribulation period. Look, we're this. But Paul says no. Paul made it very clear. But Paul, after he shares, looking for the second coming of Christ and not the secret coming of Christ, that will cause confusion. If you are looking for the second coming of Christ, then you are looking for those end times. You are looking for the tribulation. You're saying you're experiencing them now. But only Paul shares the fact that we are delivered from the tribulation. We are delivered from the second coming of Christ. He says that, and he shares this mystery resurrection, this mystery coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But after he's done sharing that at the end of chapter 4, he goes right into chapter 5 to talk a little bit about the second coming. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Later on, he goes down in verse 9, he says, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in 2 Thessalonians, he talks about that, that we are saved from that wrath. That's important to know, or else we're going to be spending all of our time, and I have two other points, and we'll say this again at the end of these next two points, but we waste so much time worrying about God's judgment, God's forgiveness, God's wrath, and all these other things, worrying about so much of that, that we never live in grace of which we're into today. We're moved by fear because we got to forgive or else we're not forgiving. We're looking and worrying about these signs when we should be looking for a blessed hope that's nothing but gloriousness that could come at any moment in time. But yet we're so moved by the law, our flesh, worshiping and following God that way. That brings confusion. It brings fear. When Paul says, whoa, wait a second. Look at what I have for you. Look at this new information that God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, gave to me to fulfill the word of God. We mentioned already the free salvation, the assurance of it. I hear many times about people enduring to the end. We don't need to endure to the end. Yes, we are challenged by Paul to fight the good fight, to press towards that mark of the high calling God. We are told to fight. But we're not told to just endure and hopefully at the end we get salvation. No, we are saved. We are in God's favor. We are in God's grace. That's where we stand today. The last point, you will think that God is judging sin today when he is not. I hear that over and over again, especially during these times. These points I'm pointing out because they're the ones I see happening right now and are very prevalent and rampant. But turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see something wonderful here. And we're not going to get into the whole issue of ministry of reconciliation, but I want to hit one aspect of that. In verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why we're ambassadors for God. Part of that is God's not in the business of judging. Actually, now all judgment's now been committed to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But before, there was results of sin. If you didn't obey God, there would be cursings and there would be blessings. There would be reasons not to sin out of fear and that respect. But now there is no judgment. God's not judging. We are in, the whole world is in a position of favor in the regards that there is nothing in between. He is not judging sin. He's not in that business right now. But right now, there's one mediator between man and God. Who is it? That's the man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the full payment in full for sin. He satisfied God's demands. So now, anybody, anywhere, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. You can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe. Part of that in verse 21 here, 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And you can be made the righteousness of God, both positionally and as you live your life. If by simple faith you will believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection, his shed blood for your sins, that simple faith that takes you out of this old man, takes you out of the wrath of God that's abiding on you, that judgment of God that's abiding on you, and completely places you to have peace with God. Because there is judgment coming. There is wrath coming. For some of us, it could very well be the tribulation period after the church or body of Christ is gone. But ultimately, in the end, there's hell. There's a judgment coming. But we are in such a wonderful position today because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't placed your faith in his simple work that is full, that is complete, that is perfect. He paid the penalty for our sin. He became sin for us. And that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Trust him before it's eternally. Simply believe. So that's why I say that if you want to follow God, back to Ephesians chapter 5, not only for you to be edified, for you to be built up, so that you can start walking and behaving and living for Christ. But it's so important. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. If you want to be able to do that, I challenge you to follow Paul as he followed Christ. We're to mark him. He's the ultimate example. He's the master builder. He's the one that took the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he laid that foundation of the revelation that he got directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He got that cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down all that new information, that new foundation for the church, the body of Christ, to now build on and to live on it and enjoy this life. But you've got to look at God's word through his eyes, Paul's eyes, to be able to see that true grace and love that Christ offered to you, and where you now stand, and where now you are told to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. That's why I bring that up. And I didn't want to get off too much on that. I was hoping to go down through most of these verses today, clear up to chapter or verse 18, but we're only going to get the first two verses. So God, bear with me. So the third point today. So how to follow. Now we're to the point. Now we can be happy. Be therefore followers of God, remembering Paul as he dispensed grace. And how he says to mark him, for example, so we can follow Christ. So now we know who to follow. Now we know how to interpret Scripture. Now walk in love. That's how we are to follow now. To walk in love as dear children. As dear children. If you're children, then obviously there's probably a father that you should be following. But who came? God the Son came, lived his life. We talked about that. It just came through resurrection week. His life, that suffering, that shed blood, all innocent, all him, innocent and perfect, became sin for us. And then he conquered death, he rose again. But he, walk in love as Christ, as dear children, look to the ultimate example of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk in love as Christ did. So, how did he do it? We just said that. And that became what? An offering, a sacrifice, something as well-pleasing, a sweet-smelling savor to God. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus. Oh, tongue twister there. Leviticus chapter 1. And just to point out a few verses. Now remember, I said before, obviously you don't want to follow Moses, so to speak, because then you'll be doing some of these. Here they would bring blood that had to cover sin, that had to bring keep the nation of Israel. There's commandments, there's things, many things that covered sin, that allowed the nation of Israel to be in fellowship with God the Father again year after year after year, to one day when Christ would come. But here we have verse 9. But in his inwards and his legs shall wash in water, and the priest shall burn on the altar these innocent sacrifice of animals, to be a burnt offering, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. We see that in verse 13, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. We see it in 17, of a sweet savor. All these sacrifices that were a sweet savor unto the Lord because they obeyed God. They obeyed what they were told to do to be able to follow God, to stay in fellowship with him, to have that covering of sin. But then Christ came. We think of Christ right here in this verse, that he himself gave himself an offering and a sacrifice. We think of the verse that we just read that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he became sin for us. Why? So that now we have direct access. We can go to God the Son only, place our faith in him, and we can have the very righteousness of God. We can be the righteousness of God. We are created in righteousness and true holiness. We are have peace with God. We are forever his. And now I think of Romans chapter 1, another common verse people go to. But chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, another therefore of what Christ has done and what he's doing and things that are going on. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, we mentioned this before, we should walk in love and do the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ, not literally in a sense, because Christ did something that no man could do, becoming sin for us. He did that. But why did he do all that? That obedience to the Father, to do his will, that love that he displayed on the cross. Now we need to walk in love as Christ did. Not for us being able to pay for sin, not in that regard, but because of our faith in him and that new life that he's given to us, now we can walk in that love. But it's also interesting that because we are fully identified into his death, his burial, his resurrection, it's amazing that that payment was applied to our account forever. So now we can live for Christ. Now we should have a reasonable sacrifice, a love that when we go out, we think of everything Christ has done through all of Ephesians. That's why he says, be therefore followers of God. When we think of everything we have in Christ and permanently also as well in Christ and all of the things that we can have here right now by walking in the Holy Spirit, we positionally have a guaranteed of an eternal home, a position of being blessed throughout all of eternity. But we can also experience that right now. One, when we walk in love. But it should be our reasonable service. We should say, Lord, because you loved us so much, because Christ loved the Father so much, because he loved us so much, he went to the cross and died for us. So we, because now we've experienced that love, we brought into that favor, into that permanent position. It should be our reasonable service to say, I will walk in love. Why? Because as Christ has loved us, so that's why we're going to walk in love. We should be so moved. And when we do, when we make that choice to say, I will walk by faith and not by sight, and mainly what that means today, walking by faith and not by sight, yes, it's always been faith that God demanded. But today, to walk by faith, not by sight, we are not here to do things to gain favor with God. We are in His favor. But we are here to realize that now we are a new creation. We are a workmanship. That now we can truly do righteous things before God to bring a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. Something that God looks at and says, that's well-pleasing. That's awesome. That's wonderful. That He looks at His dear children just as He looks at Christ and says, that's acceptable. He's living in righteousness. She's living in righteousness. Whereas before, we could never have done that. But now we can freely do it without fear, without having to worry about maintaining our salvation, without having to worry about any of that. We can freely live in His grace and be well-pleasing unto Him. Look in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says, Now thanks be unto God, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and unto the others a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? One other verse before I comment. Philippians chapter 4:18. Philippians chapter 4:18 says, But I have all and abound. This is Paul speaking again. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. The Philippians, giving to the need of the Apostle Paul. The things which were sent of you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you step out in love, just like the Philippians did there that I just read, and gave to Paul not only spiritual needs, but also his physical needs, whether it might have been clothing or money or whatever it might have been. And they were the only church, as far as I see, is what Paul said, that gave in that manner. But that act of love, they walked in love. And Paul says when we do that, we become a sacrifice, just like Christ. That is, can you imagine that? Christ's sacrifice was an odor, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And now because of what Christ has done for us, we can live in grace, we can live for the Lord, and we can be well-pleasing unto the Lord. We can be a sweet-smelling savor unto God. That's a wonderful challenge. And again, I'll remind you, and I'll keep saying it, because too many people want to live in it. All. We can do this all without the fear of saying, I have to get forgiveness again. I have to atone for this sin I did or that sin I did. I have to do it or God's going to curse me. I have to do this or our nation's going to be judged. No. This is grace. This is love now. Be so moved and experience that. Walk by faith. Let the Holy Spirit produce what it means to be in grace. And it'll be a wonderful thing. So we need, our last point here, we need to be followers of God. In order to do this, we must first filter everything through the revelation that was given directly to the Apostle Paul. For if we do not, we will spend most of our time trying to stay in God's favor when we are already in His favor, that grace permanently. Now, this is a different kind of favor, not a favor of, oh, am I going to make it to heaven? We're in that favor for good. But now, let's be an odor. Let's be a sweet smelling savor to the Lord, to God the Father, because of what the Lord's done for us. I bring up again the butterfly and the 2 points under our last point D. A butterfly cannot be the worm anymore. We cannot be the old man, as what Paul calls it, but we are now the new man. We can act like it, but we are not. How many times have we used this illustration? You ever see a butterfly go down and start eating the grass or leaves or other things? No, he can't. He doesn't have the ability to anymore. But some of us as Christians, we can no longer go back and be that old person. We cannot go back to being dead in our trespasses and sin. We cannot be that old man anymore. God's the one that did the finished work through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the moment we place our simple faith, he imputes everything, he plays that payment to our account. Not only that, but he completely transforms our life permanently, that we are something new. We can never go back. And thankfully, we can say that wholeheartedly because God did it. It was truly the faith and operation of God that did the full transaction of salvation. And we can never go back to be in the worm. Sure, many of us want to go back and say, I want to eat of the grass. I want to eat of the leaves. I want to be like the worm again, even though you aren't. Imagine what a show that is for Satan and all his cohorts to see a child of God who's in his special favor to truly now live in the righteousness and holiness of God, to live and be an effective light in this world, even towards Satan himself, to have victory over him in this world, where we're the beacon of light. We're the one that can hinder Satan because of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Imagine what we look like to him, this new creation, like a butterfly, when we say, I want to go back and be a worm again. And we go around with this beautiful butterfly down on the ground, crawling around instead of flying, trying to do all these things the worms do, and it's just ridiculous. But we don't see it, because sometimes we get blinded by our flesh. But stay in the Lord. Paul lays out an awesome way. He continues to build all through Ephesians. That's why I say read the whole book when we come here each Sunday. Because he has a wonderful way of building up how we live and should act and think. So be a butterfly. Be a new creation. And fly, as I call it, to your sweet nectar, which is God's word, to live. And don't try to live as a worm in your flesh. And ingest the poison of the leaves, which is the works of the flesh. And that's what we're going to start looking at next week. So our challenge of you today is, one, be followers of God. And how do you do that? One, the only way to figure out how to do that is to look at the therefore. And part of that therefore is also chapter 3 that shares Paul has a special message for today that you can't find anywhere else in the Word of God. Unless you look to Paul's epistles. That doesn't mean we don't look elsewhere in the Word of God, because there's much benefit to God's Word as a whole. But just as Peter didn't go back and say, I want to do this. I want to make the sacrifice. The Jews didn't say that, because at one point in time, the head of the families would. At one point in time, only the priests would. So we have to look at how God's dealing with us today, to be able to experience his love and his grace. So now the challenge is to walk in that grace. Be that new creation that you are. Because now Paul's ready to say, now to get up and start acting like it. And let's trust God without any fear or any repercussions. Because we do, we fail, we get knocked down. But the beauty of grace is we can get back up and keep on living, keep on walking in love, not having to worry about anything, what the flesh has to tell us or the law has to tell us. Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. Thank you so much for your word, that it's so true, that it is truly a rock, an anchor, a truth that will stand throughout all of eternity, never changing. So, Lord, we can truly rely on it, not ourselves. When hard times come, may we look to your word first before we commit and conceive other ideas, that we look to your word. And we morph our way of thinking because of your word says so. We step out in faith and we get to experience you instead of us saying no and stepping out in our flesh again and experiencing the works of the flesh. Lord, help us to realize we are truly a new creation, that we can't ever go back, and we're permanently yours in your love, in your grace. And help us to be motivated to stand in that freely, to be able to serve you freely, freely live for you. Thank you again. May you bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're going to close with number 168, Blessed Be the God. And we're going to close in with this.